I'm going to be speaking in 1 Corinthians today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm starting at probably verse 18. Why don't we pray? Praise you, God, and thank you. What an honor it is just to give the word in front of the assembly. Just never want to take this for granted, Lord. Just such a privilege. I know you're here, Lord. I know your hand is upon me. Help me to speak what you need me to speak, Lord. And let me just glorify you in everything that's said in your holy name. So again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Gabriel.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Thank you, Gabriel. Such a wonderful tradition to have him read for me. Truth is, I actually don't like reading to people. I don't even read to my kids. They often ask me, I'm just like, go get your mom or something like that. I tell them a story because that you just make it up, you know, which is great, you know. Starting in verse 18. Well, let me give you some background here. So this is 1 Corinthians. Paul starts this letter off by admonishing the church in Corinth. They seem to have some contention. There's some groups that are leaning towards Paul, groups leaning towards Apollo. So he kind of starts it off correcting that. He even, you know, I think half-jokingly says in verse 14, I thank God I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest you say I baptize in my own name. So kind of enjoyed that. So going into verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. A lot is being said here, but I think it's maybe important to talk about the foolishness, the message of the cross. In my notes, this is what it says. God's total revelation, the gospel in all its fullness, which centers on the incarnation and crucifixion of Christ, the entire divine plan and provision for the redemption of sinners. So the message of the cross, essentially, John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not have a spiritual death, but have everlasting life in him. You know, to us, to those who are believers, it's very powerful. But again, to the world, you know, that theology can often seem foolish to them. Again, in my notes, it says the gospel is nonsense, and I think what we see in this statement and in this whole discourse, we're going to see a dichotomy of the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God here, and this particular passage I just read, I've been on both sides of this. And prior to me coming to the Lord, it was foolishness. And I, you know, it's interesting in my walk, my friends, like I had a large group of friends, and a lot of them were Christian. And a lot of them would try to witness to me. And it's interesting. It's only like decades later I remember this. You know, my heart was this is silly. This is foolishness. The Greek word for foolishness also is, you know, they derive moron from that. And that's how I looked at them. I'm like, you guys are just morons, you know, believing this, following this. And for me, I just argued it. like anything. So try not to insert myself too much, but I just can relate to a lot of this. But the second part of it, right? But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And especially those who have, you know, have had conversions, you see that. You just see how radically it's changed your life. And just, you know, I look at it as, you know, it's as Scripture says, it's death to my old self, death to the old man, crucifying my sins, nailing my sins to the cross, death to all that, and then new life in Christ. And, you know, in my experience, it truly was a new life in Christ. But even, you know, even if you don't have the conversion, even if you have the blessing of not having a conversion, just to coming to knowing Christ and knowing the power of that. And I love the word power because it is powerful. I just, I will forever be up here preaching to what, you know, Christ did. I mean, I think all those who are believers, you know, you know you have the Spirit in you. How do you know? You've seen that power. You've seen that power move in you. You've seen that power move in others. Like, I love witnesses, right? People have witnesses. Like, this is what Jesus did in my life just last week. It's wonderful. And to see them come to life. And just, you know, I'm sorry to go back to myself, but, you know, with my group of friends, no one, even though they witnessed me, I think after a number of times, it was like pearls to the swine. They just lacked the confidence, man. Like, he's just prideful. He is just going nowhere. And I remember this girl coming up to me, and after I came to faith, she says, "I prayed for you." Like, I prayed for you. And she was saying it like, I can't believe it happened. Like, oh my gosh, I prayed. Like, it actually happened, you know? And so, again, just a testament of power for God. And maybe another dichotomy we see here, and I'll talk a little bit about this in a second, is, you know, to those who I think the cross is foolishness, and I know with myself, you know, there's arrogance, there's pride, right? You know, I'm pride in the world there. And then to the power of God, I think you really experience the power of God when you're humble, the humility, right? Death to our old self, death to the pride and the arrogant. New life in Christ is, you know, when you look at it and what's asked of us as believer, you know, really, it's a lot of humility. It's a lot of humility. It is very different, quite the opposite of pride and arrogance. So I just want to go to Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. I love this part. You know, we get into Jesus and really what he's calling us to be, you know, fulfilling the law. Like, the standard was here, but now the standard is up here. And we should never be scared of it. We never be afraid of that or annoyed by that or like, oh my gosh, now I got to do it. No. I think the sign of a true believer is like, yes, that's what I wanted. I want a standard. I want that being that high. So, you know, again, Matthew chapter 5, I'm just going to read through some of my headings here. You know, murder beginning in the heart. You know, I mean, you know, we all knew and people knew back then, you know, of course, murder is wrong, but just having, you know, hatred in your heart, hatred to the point you're wishing they were dead, you know, Jesus is just like murder. You know, same with lust, having lust for a woman in your heart, even though you're not doing anything, still just like adultery. Other things here, you know, marriage and just the sacredness of marriage and how he views remarriage, you know, just radical, very, very different, not just from the Jews here, but think about that. This is all very, very different from how the world views these things here. You know, and then I would maybe say as the last example, love of enemies, right? You know, just, you know, when someone injures you, when someone is so cruel and so hostile to you, how do you respond to them? But again, not with arrogance, not with pride that only escalates things, but with a humility, you know, God's way, God's wisdom of dealing with that. And I just love that part. So, sorry, I lost my spot. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Okay. All right. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Paul is quoting from, it's Isaiah. And at that time, some rebellion with Israel, pointing that out. going on to verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? You know, and disputer, it's interesting what my notes say on that. Sorry, get to it. Here it is. This was a Greek word with no Old Testament counterpart, identifying with those who are adept at arguing philosophy. And that's something I can relate to. You know, I so enjoyed, you know, debate and everything like that. Again, I remember with my friends is like, we have this debate. And I'm just like going nuts. And then I'm like, all right, guys, let's have it another night. And they looked at me and they're just like, nah, I don't want to do that again. You know, and just, it was good. It was good to hear that. And just, you know, again, just the arrogance and the pride, you know, often leads to that. You know, someone just, you just want to win the argument. And I love the next line here. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. And I'll back up a little bit on that because, again, the, you know, showing the cross is foolish. You know, if you think about, like, all that theology of Jesus dying for our sins, Jesus being the Lamb, Jesus taking the place, and all of that, and what does he do? He saves us from what? He saves us from hell. And think how the world views hell. Hell is viewed, it's almost like in C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, right? He makes reference of, like just get them, like the two demons, get them not to believe in us or not to take us seriously in that. And think about the world now. You know, and even in my realm, the most popular books out right now are books about demons. And we have demon books, we have demon shows in that. And what they do now, it's interesting, is there's almost no fear of hell anymore because they just kind of don't believe it's really there, whether they believe all people go to heaven or they just don't believe it's there or there's anything afterward. These demon books have good demons and bad demons, and they just interplay with people and things like that and have superpowers in that. And it's just, you know, again, it really shows the world and just kind of what, you know, gives us a glimpse, really, of what the world thinks of, you know, again, this kind of theology. And again, if I could back up a little bit to us, you know, the message of the cross being foolishness, not just the theology, but also our walk, right? You know, when we walk, when we truly walk in the Spirit as Christians, the world does look at this as foolishness, and we're going to go into this a little bit more about that. So going back to what I just read, God made foolish the wisdom of the world. And the thought came to me, the wisdom of the world, if we look at everything the world says, and even if you look at, like, right now, just how the world views you know, just seeking pleasure and how the world views seeking pleasure and having a lot of fun, like contemporary country. I know people like this. I know they like contemporary, but please, you know, look at some of these songs where, you know, the songs are all about, like, day drinking, like purposely sitting down and planning out getting drunk for the whole day and things like that, okay? But again, just one example of how the view views alcohol, like, you know, have alcohol, have it to a point where it's excessive, have it to a point where you're inebriated. Other things, just, you know, getting revenge on people and that, you know, we look at that all the time. I don't get too far off track, but even if you look back in the day, we think of the good old days, the 50s and that, but you look at, like, if anyone watches Westerns, Westerns are all about revenge. They're all, something bad happens to a good guy, and it's all about getting revenge. And there's one out there I highly encourage you to watch. It's called The Big Country. And it's not your typical, it's wonderfully filmed, but it's not your typical Western. It's this feud between two families, and one appears to be good and one appears to be bad. And there's a newcomer that comes into the mix, a guy who's marrying the daughter of the good family, and he starts questioning it. He's like, why do you have to get revenge? Why do you got to go out? Why do you have to get payback? Why do you got to do this? And starts questioning, and he's scorned for that. But it's a fascinating movie. It's really, like, I almost really believe it was written by a Christian. It really just has a lot of kind of Christian overtones. Why do you have to do that? So, you know, again, you know, that's the wisdom of the world. You know, even getting further into, you know, LGBT, you know, look at all of that that's being thrust upon our society, whether it's, you know, in work and in school, and, you know, and all the idea of you know, the world encouraging us to accept this, to help people, to help them transition and all this. And going back, God made foolish the wisdom of this world. If you look at even statistically, some of the things that I talk about here, okay, so like even, you know, you look at God's word and how he talks about Proverbs and you know, keeping company. Who do you keep company with? You know, if you keep company with the wicked, what happens? You know, it says that don't keep company with the wicked, okay? In my field, you know, I work with people who've done wicked things. And again, you know, the wicked and keeping company of the wicked, statistically, these people have a higher percentage of winding up in prison. So again, you know, is that wisdom? Is that wise to go in the direction? You know, the world, again, you know, just, you know, looking for revenge. You know, those who live by the sword die by the sword. You know, people are looking at that. Or again, people tend to wind up in prison. Alcohol, right? You know, going out and hey, it's fun getting inebriated in that. And again, look, the world's wisdom, but look where that leads to. Look at all the tragic consequences having too much alcohol often leads to. So, you know, that's the wisdom of the world. You know, again, the LGBT, you know, one of my best friends, he's a counselor. And I'm like, who are the people that just need the most help? And he said, this is the community. He goes, I get a lot of them. I get a lot of them. A lot of the ones who wanted to become the girl or the boy wanted, you know, just wanted to change in that. Just lots and lots problem. Again, the world's wisdom going that direction, but you know, God's wisdom, stay away from that. There's a lot of problems. You know, God in his love and in his wisdom, he gives us scripture here. Okay, continuing on. Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. And I just love that, what is said here is God through the foolishness of the message preached to those who say to believe. I can relate to that. You know, it you know, something that once looked foolish, God did not give up on me, and eventually through his methods, you know, got me to be simple, and got me to see his message and his fruits of his message and coming to him, you know, and God using something that the world calls foolish to really call his elect, so people know it's him, right? It's the sheep who knows his shepherd. And the sheep are going to see this thing that the world calls foolish and be gravitating towards their shepherd. Verse 22, for the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Want to just stop there. So when he says, for the Jews request a sign, my notes say he's referring to Matthew 12. Chapter 12, verse 38, and I'll just read that. Well, I'll give you the context of that. So at that point, this is where the Pharisees are kind of following Jesus, and Jesus is, you know, they're just ripping apart everything he's doing. His disciples are eating heads of grain. Hey, you're not supposed to look what they're doing on the Sabbath. He heals someone. They chastise him for healing someone on the Sabbath. They accuse him of being associated with Satan. Jesus finally rips into him a bit, and he talks about the trees of a tree being known, you know, how its fruit is known. Either make the tree good or its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit, brood of vipers. And after he gets done with that, they respond with what I was just saying, demanding a sign. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. You know, after all that, after witnessing or at least hearing about the miracle, the withered hand right there, and just knowing that, you know, they're not out of touch. They know he's sitting there doing miracle after miracle. You know, there is something to him. There is something special. And yet, right there, after seeing and hearing this, still demanding a sign. Interesting that Paul mentions this, you know, kind of was talking with the elders, you know, was Paul there, right? I mean, Paul, maybe not a full Pharisee there, but just, you know, maybe younger, helping out, you know, learning, whatever. But, you know, the fact that Paul mentions it seems to go back to this passage. And then it says, and then the Greeks seek after wisdom. And that was very much of the Greek culture. The Greeks' culture was, they were very much into logic and wisdom, and not necessarily bad things. But again, the question is it God's, is it man's wisdom, or is it God's wisdom? And that makes me think back when Paul was speaking, I forget where it was, but it I want to say Acropolis. I know it wasn't the Acropolis, but it was near the Acropolis. And he speaks and he gives that sermon to an unknown God. And he gives that, you know, in this arena of where there's wisdom and philosophies and debate in that, he comes up with God's wisdom there. And it's interesting what happens. You know, a bunch of people, probably most of them, mock him and ridicule him and dismiss him. But there are people that ask for more information. And there also are some people, it says, comes to faith. I think Dionysus and Darius come to faith there. So interesting. Good to hear that, because even though the world considers it foolishness, even though it might be embarrassing, I think that's a good example of how we're still called to go into that arena. You know, be in the world, but not of it, but still engage. Like, we're not, you know, Paul said, you know, we're not going to be taken out of the world. We're going to still have to deal with the world. And I think, you know, to have the courage and still try to engage in the world as Paul did is just such a wonderful thing for our Lord, the wonderful servanthood to do for our Lord. And again, this passage, for the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. And I think of this almost as our world today. You know, you have the Jews, in a way, I almost look at them as those who know, you know, those in the world who know of Christianity, maybe were somewhat brought up into it, but are maybe embittered somewhat of it, you know, maybe, you know, had a bad experience, or, you know, look for things of hypocrisy in that, and maybe the only way they want to come, the only way I'll come is if you show some type of sign, if there's some type of sign or something like that. And then you have the Greeks, you know, just more of the pagan culture who have just, you know, either never grew up or just never knew Christ. And then you have, well, you know, it's just very similar, I guess, my point is, of what we see in the world today. And I also think, like, even in the pagan side of it, or at least the pagan side that, I shouldn't say pagan side, I suppose I should say, those who maybe weren't brought up there, maybe come to know a little bit about this Jesus, but often what we see in the world, they make Jesus into their own God. So, you know, it might be a Jesus where there's no hell. It might be, you know, a Jesus and he's, you know, he's just concerned with healing things, but there's no concern for sanctification and things like that. It's basically, you know, the Bible without most of the Bible here. So, okay. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So sorry, I should probably kind of read that in context. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And just maybe that last part, the power of God, the wisdom of God, you know, where do we see that? We often see that in Scripture. And, you know, what I thought of was Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is really all about the word, the wonderful, wonderful description of the word. I'm just going to read just real quickly some of this and how it's described, you know, really what we're talking about, the wisdom of God here and how it's described, okay? So it says, when I look into all your commandments, I will praise you with the uprightness of heart. Then going down to verse 9, How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, not let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts. And I'll stop there, but I think you get the idea of the passion here for the Lord's word, for the Lord's wisdom. And hopefully that's true out of as believers. You know, we just seek that, and we have a passion. You know, not like your commandments and all this is burdensome and cumbersome, but no, I want to follow those. Help me make it. I want to be better at this. You know, again in 1 John, right? He talks about you know, those who love him follow his commandments. I love you, Lord. Just like I want to follow these. You know, give me more. I don't know. You know, something like that. Okay. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, this is interesting because, again, I'm not really talking about, you know, we can't really say, like, you know, everyone who's wise, everyone who's noble are not being called. But again, they're talking in the context of man's wisdom. What does man consider what is wise, which is mighty, which is noble? You know, prior to knowing the Lord, maybe even a little bit after, you know, I was celebrity obsessed. You know, I had my celebrities I follow and listen to and things like that that I would think is so wise and so noble and things like that. But, you know, just you know, often, again, what the world calls wise and noble just turns out not to be. Passage I think of here is, you know, Lazarus and the rich man. You know, and again, back in the day, you know, the assumption of being wealthy was God had his favor on you. And if God had his favor on you, then obviously when you die, you should be going to be with him. You should be going to heaven. And Jesus kind of turns the tables on that. Not so in here. It's actually Lazarus who's in heaven there, and the rich man just incredulous, like, what am I doing here? And go tell Lazarus, you know, he's still trying to command Lazarus to do things and that. So, you know, again, you know, what the world considers, you know, wise and noble and that, you know, not called at all. But God has chosen the foolish things in this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things in this world to shame the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. I'll just stop there for a second. There's a lot here. And again, this harkens back to humility, right? You know, God uses humility. And maybe one thing I think of is just, you know, like children. You know, he talks, you know, the children come up. I let them come. Let the children come. You know, to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like a child, okay, and being like a child, as we all know, is you know, you hang on every word of your parents. You look to obey them. You look to please them. That's humility. That's really a lesson in humility, is to you know, follow our mighty God. Lord, I submit to you, not to my ways, but your ways. Death to my old self, new life in you, and whatever you want me to do. So again, the wisdom of the Lord is following him no matter what, absolutely no matter what. Another thing that came to mind, just throw this out, it's just interesting, is that when they look at people who are coming to Christ, and oftentimes they look at it geographically, and, you know, you start to see it in modern times where a lot of third world, people in the third world are accepting Christ, and there's not a lot of stumbling blocks there. You know, missionaries come back, and it's fascinating to hear, especially out of Africa and things like that. Even the Catholic Church is being totally ripped apart by liberal and Orthodox, and where's the Orthodox? It's actually in Africa there. So it's fascinating to see that, you know, even in India's their government is so hot. They weren't, but they are now so hostile to Christians. We used to know a pastor who used to go in there, like almost unencumbered, and this new government came, and then boom, the door shuts, and like you can only go in and do this. But still, lots of people, many coming to the Lord you know, and I think people just with just simple, you know, their lives are simple. They're unencumbered by, you know, they're unencumbered by the world's wisdom, by the complexity that the world has, and just coming to Christ. So I think of that when I read the, you know, the weak things of this world. In verse 28, and the base things of the world, which these things are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And then lastly, it finishes up in verse 30, but of him you are in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That is, it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, right? I mean, we coming to Christ, he imputes his righteousness on us. It's so wonderful, and sanctification and redemption. And there's all that wisdom right there. You know, that's all we need. All we need is Christ. You know, we just don't need the world's wisdom and going in that direction. You know, all we need is Christ. And I love at the end here, it says, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, right? I mean, at least coming to Christ simplified things for me. You know, no longer did I have to pursue things of the world, like, do I have, you know, this much, you know, do I, you know, I don't know, did, you know, where's my career, whatever, things of the world, I want to pursue this, I want to show off, I'm going to be the first one to do this. Like, that all went away. That all went, well, not overnight, but it a lot of it went away, and really what mattered was glorifying God. It was a process, but, you know, eventually got to the point of, like, no matter what I do, I need to make sure I'm glorifying God. And the last thing I have is just kind of a challenge here, right? I mean, you know, if we're going to glorify God, honestly, we really need to look foolish to the world, don't we, right? We need to be courageous a lot of times. There's a lot of times where, you know, we're called to speak up. You know, maybe we need to speak up, or we're called to do something that threatens us and threatens our, you know, our livelihood. You know, for me personally, being a librarian, and especially being in these times where that LGBT all came to surface, that affects the library quite a bit, because there's a lot of pressure to put in materials in there and to distribute those to children. And it took me a while. It was just a big struggle. You know, here I am. I worked hard to get to that job, went back to school and everything else, and, you know, had a growing family in that. But, you know, I think the Lord just, you know, through his wisdom and working on me, you know, I got to the point where I'm just like, I'm not going to buy or distribute it. I'm just not to children, you know. And, I always, you know, at first it was nerve-wracking because it was always the threat of losing my job. Like, I was just saying, one of these days I was going to come home and, yeah, honey, they let me go because I wouldn't do this. But, you know, the more I became like, hey, you know, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to glorify you no matter what you ask. The less and less I was anxious over that. And more that God protected me. So, you know, as long as he did in those situations, and that would be, you know, I just tell that to maybe hopefully encourage people, you know, as we go out in the world and you have the world's wisdom to, you know, again, you know, death to yourself, old self, new life in Christ, following the Lord's wisdom, but also being a light, because I was into the Lord's wisdom. You know, I was in it for a long time, and people worked on me, and it wasn't, you know, like I said, they were surprised it wasn't working, but there's always hope. There's always hope for those who are just following the Lord's wisdom, who are arrogant just arrogant and prideful. All right, souls in prayer. Praise you, Lord, and I thank you for your word, and I just thank you for your convicting word. Lord, let your word convict us every day, all the days of our life, and just help us to always, if we're not in the word, Lord, help us just that every day just open up and read your word and read your wisdom and follow your wisdom. And Lord, just challenge us in our lives, and if we're following the world's wisdom, help us to turn from that and turn to your wisdom. Praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name.